Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
A very good evening to all of you. Goeienaand almal. It's just so good to be here. This is my second meeting now. How many of you were at the first one? Oh, you naughty. Oh, let's just pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for Jesus. Lord, I just feel your warmth and your love and your presence here this evening. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will touch us, the so-called nobodies, the ordinary people of this land, and use us to impact this nation. I pray that you'd watch over the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen.
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 Amen. Come on, guys. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. There's nowhere else in the world that men can say, and ladies, amen, like South Africa. It's a fact. I've taught them in America. I've taught them in Brazil. I've taught them in Israel. I've taught them in Australia, New Zealand, to say, amen. But they can't say it like you. Once more. One, two. Amen. See, when you say that, the devil takes a few steps backwards. But when you say, amen, brother, he says, I'm not worried about that person. Do you mind if I take my coat off? Well, I'm taking it off anyway. My wife Jill sends her love to you. She's praying for you now. And I just want to introduce Tommy. Tommy Vogel. Stand up, Tommy. This young man, he goes with me all over the world. And he pays his own way. He's been with me all over, and he's become a friend indeed. And thanks, Tommy, for what you meant to the gospel. Give him a big hand, please. And I also want you to give the music team a huge hand. I thought they did amazing. Well done. I've told them if they carry on playing like that, I'm taking them to Nashville, Tennessee with me when I go next year. Folks, it's so good to be with you tonight. And I want to get to the point, because I know it's Sunday night. I know that many of you are going to go home now, and you're going to study and so on. But I really want to ask you one question. Do you know what the meaning of life is? Because if you find the meaning of life tonight in this place, it'll change you forever. I really mean that. I only have one regret, sir, one regret in life. And my regret is this. It took me 32 years to find the true meaning of life. That's the only regret I've got. I am living my dream. I don't think as many people can say that, eh? You know, I'm living my dream. If you had to come to me now and say, Uncle Angus, what else? What could we give you? There's nothing that I want. Nothing. Because I know I'm in God's perfect will. I'm doing the will of the Father. You see, some years back, I had a terrible drought on the farm. Terrible drought. And I said to the Lord, not that you can make conditions with God. I said, Lord, if you pull me through this drought, I will preach your word until I die. Well, I've got news for you. He pulled me through the drought. That's why I'm here tonight. I'm not here for any other reason. I don't want your money. You've never heard me ask for money. I will never ask for money. Doesn't matter what other people do, and I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. But for me, I made a pact with God. See? I said, Lord, I will keep preaching as long as you keep supplying. When you stop supplying, I'll stop preaching. Simple. So, 36 years later, I'm still preaching. And I'm preaching more now than I've ever preached in my life. And tonight, the second meeting, I want, for the sake of the couple of guys that are in the second service, I want to change the message a little bit. God is no respecter of persons. God will use any boy, any girl, any man, any woman who's prepared to put their hand up tonight. So good to see you, Brian. It's up to you. Really? You know, I always say to Auntie Jill that God's got favorites. Because I think he has. But Auntie Jill says God's got no favorites. You know, God will use anyone. He will use a shepherd boy. He will use a fisherman. He will use a tent maker. He will use anybody that is prepared to put up their hand for the Lord. How big is God? He is as big as you allow him to be. I want to say to the musicians here tonight, you can be as big and as good as God as you want. It's up to you. It's not about anything else. It's not even about talent, you know. It's about obedience and it's about faith. If you can believe God to turn your situation around tonight, he will do it for you. It's actually up to you. So I want to talk to you tonight about choices as well. You've got a choice to make tonight, and I'm going to give you the privilege of making that choice. That's right. Tonight I'm going to give you the privilege in this place, on this evening, to make that choice. Once I tell you what the meaning of life is, as God has shown me, then you have a choice to believe it or to reject it. Simple. It's not about how good you are. Good people are not going to heaven. I'm telling you now, it's believers that are going to heaven. Amen. Good people are not going to heaven. It's believers that are going to heaven. When the disciples found the true meaning of life, they changed the whole world. I'm talking about 11 disciples. Okay? They changed the whole world. It's time again. Folks, just turn the TV on, man. It is so depressing. You just see immorality. You see just mass murder. You see absolute chaos. The Middle East is in a mess. I go to Israel every single year. I preach at the Feast of Tabernacles. And just over the road, literally, is Damascus. It's almost flattened, man. The biggest refugee migration since the Second World War is taking place at the moment. It's chaos in Europe. I want to tell you, there's no place like home. And I'm here to stay. Amen. I'm here to stay. Can you give the Lord a clap? I'm not going anywhere. This is my home. I'm an African. Staying here. But I'm not just staying here. I'm going to make a difference. See? And you're the same. If you are going to stay here, you're going to make a difference. And some of us need to have our mouths washed out with Holy Ghost soap. We are so negative that the devil's got no work to do. Well, this country's going to the dogs. There's no future in this country. There's no this, there's no that. Lies. This country is not finished until Jesus said so. And he hasn't, let's give the Lord a clap for that one too. It's not finished. It's not finished until Jesus says so. And he hasn't told me nothing about that. I want to tell you right now. And I want to say to you folks, and I know I'm speaking to a lot of Afrikaners here tonight. You know, I love the Afrikaans nation. Because you are so committed. You see, you've got nowhere to go. That didn't come out right, but you know what I meant. What I meant was, if you leave South Africa, you're a refugee. That's right. Because you're born and bred here for generations. Okay? I'm also an African. I was born in Bulawayo. I grew up in Zambia. Okay? Been here all my life. I'm an African. I'm a white African. You are a black African. We are Africans. I am your father, you my son. If you love Jesus. Amen! That's okay. Abeko abanye ngaphandle kwaJesu. Yayizwa kahle. UJesu yedwa. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap. He is the Lord. Right, so let's look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. One verse, that's all. And just half of that verse. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Who are they? The disciples. They turned the world upside down. How? By force? No. They had no weapons. They had no army. They had no money. What was it? It was something that happened in their hearts, my girl. See? They'd found the meaning of life. That's what happened. Now tonight, you can find the meaning of life. I'm not here to tell you about the politics of South Africa. I can't even spell the word, okay? I'm not interested because I can do nothing about it. I'm not here to sort out the monetary system, right? I'm not here to sort out the elements because I'm not the rainmaker. Some people think I am, but I'm not. I'm the son of the rainmaker. See? Oh, yes, I'm his son. And when I call unto him, he answers. Give the Lord a clap if you're going to give him a clap. That's right. He's the rainmaker. And we are his children. He says, call unto me and I'll answer you. So we can't do anything about that. But you know, tonight, I've come here tonight, not even to sort out the problem on the campuses. I haven't even been preaching about that. I've already been to UCT. I've been to Stellenbosch. I've been to UJ. And now tonight, I'm in Tuckies. Wednesday, I'm in Bloemfontein. Next week, Wednesday, I'm at Potch. And in between, I'm going to all the Mighty Men conferences right through the country. Now, God orchestrated that. So one weekend, I'm speaking to the fathers. The next weekend, I'm speaking to the sons and the daughters. Then I'm speaking to the father. That's not a coincidence. That's Jesus, man. And he says, in the last days, the Lord will turn the fathers towards their sons and daughters and the children towards their father. As Philip has just said, let's give the Lord a clap for that. You know, the whole Mighty Men phenomenon. It's a phenomenon. You know that, eh? It's a revival that's been unprecedented. I'm telling you now. There's nowhere in the whole world. I've researched revival. That's my subject. There's never been anything like what's happened. And it's not dead. And some guys say, oh, it won't last. Some theologians, sir. Yeah, big names in this country. Oh, it won't last. It's just a fad. I want to tell you, it started in 2003. It's now 2016. And this year, hang on a minute, I'll tell you when to clap. And this year, I've already been to Northwest, their first one. Northwest Mighty Men, 10,000 men. Then I went to Bushveld Mighty Men, 20,000 men. I've just come from Mighty Men Karoo, I don't even know how many thousand. Last year, they had 37,000. This year, I don't know, it looked like to me like it was double. Okay? 2010, I had to make a big decision. How many men were at Mighty Men in 2010? Look at that. Full up. Give these guys a big clap, man. Well done, boys. We had more men on the farm than the defense force in South Africa. Army, Air Force, and Navy. It's a fact. I saw more men than I've ever seen in my life. And ladies, I want to say something to you. I love, my best friend is a lady, hey? My wife. I love children. And you go to the average church, it's 90% or maybe 80% women and children and 10% or 20% men. Other way around. You know, there were so many men. I get excited, man. You know that when they went back, they were going back to Cape Town to fly in the airplane. You know the one time there were so many big mana, these Buddha men, in the airplane that they couldn't put on the luggage on the airplane. The luggage had to go on the next plane because the plane was too heavy and it couldn't take off. Oh, hallelujah. And when they were telling me when the pilot would come to the top of the runway to turn around, he stopped the engine, the pilot would come onto the mic and he was quite emotional and he said, boys, before we fly, let's pray. Huh? Is that not revival, my girl? When these guys were coming back to Joburg and Pretoria, coming up the N1, and they go into one of those one stops, one guy would walk into a restaurant that was packed with men and he'd just say, amen, and the whole place would erupt. Is that not revival? We get letters, and I don't want to make you cry. We get letters from women, not from men. Dear Angus, the man that I fell in love with 20 years ago came back again this weekend after that conference. Huh? That's revival. Little children like us with that big handwriting. Those are the letters I love the most. Big handwriting. And little pictures. Dear Angus, thank you for giving me a new daddy. Huh? Is that not revival? Huh? You see, there's got to be fruit. Something's got to change in the dimensions. I mean, there was horse riders came this time from Grahamstown. They rode 900 kilometers. Sorry, 450 kilometers, 9 days on horseback. You know how long that is? Try sitting on a horse for 1 hour, my boy. And you know what their logo was? He died for us, we ride for him. Awesome! Amen! So who are these men? These men that have turned the world upside down have even come here too. That was the disciples. That was Acts chapter 17, verse 6. The only hope this nation has got left now is Jesus Christ. Him alone. The only hope. And the only way this nation is going to know about Jesus is through you. I'm telling you. It's through the sheep, not just the shepherd. There's not enough shepherds around. It's got to be you and me. It's got to be the miner, the farmer, the housewife. It's got to be the university student. I want to prophesy. In this hall here, right now, there are people in this hall that are going to change this nation. In the next 10 years, you will be running this country. Give the Lord a clap for that. You will be running this country. Oh, hallelujah. And I'll be right there behind you. I'm telling you, I'm getting emotional. You will change this nation if you know, if you understand the meaning of life. Listen to me. These disciples were cowering in the upper room. I've been there. I've been to Israel every year since 2003. They were cowering there. They were defeated. Their leader had been crucified. He was dead. They had no more hope. They said, we're going back fishing. We're going back. We've lost it. What happened? Well, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Lord revealed himself to them. He gave them the strength, and they went out. They changed. The first sermon that Peter, who was a fisherman, illiterate, couldn't read or write. First sermon he preached, 3,000 men came to Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, we need it again, and we need it here, and we need it now. And it'll start in South Africa, and it'll burn right up to Egypt, right up to the north of Africa, from this country. I'm telling you now, we've got the roots, we've got the foundations. Now we need the fire. Mlilo in Zulu. Fire. See, they saw that these men were different. These men weren't like the other men. Who are these men that have even come to this town and turned it upside down? That's what the Bible says here. Then we look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. There's Peter and John going up to the temple to worship as they always did. There was a lame man. He'd been there for years. Jesus walked past that lame man. You know that? That's right. He walked past him every day because Jesus used to go up to the temple to worship. And Jesus never healed him. Why? Well, we can sit here all night and debate about that. But I believe because Jesus wanted Peter and John to heal him with his power. Now, folks, I want to say something. I'm begging you tonight. There's some people here around about my age, maybe not too many. I want to say to you, your testimony must be real. Your testimony, especially for young people, it must be applicable to now. It's no good saying in 1965, I gave my life. Listen, half of these kids weren't even born. Well, all of them weren't even born there. I wasn't very old then. They want to know now, what is Jesus doing in your life? Okay? They want a testimony now. And I'll tell you what happened. I've got a witness here. I'm talking about Stellenbosch. I'm talking about, when was it? Wednesday, last week. We were in Stellenbosch. I got an SMS as I was going to the meeting from one of my spiritual sons. I've got 230 spiritual sons. 230. That's my qualifications. I've got spiritual sons all over the world. I've got 27 adopted children. I've got 5 children of my own. I've got 10 grandchildren. That's my qualifications. Never been to theological faculty in my life. I've been to the school of life. I'm married to one woman. It's my wife. I've been married to her for over 40 years. Now you can give the Lord a clap. Amen. Amen. Who are these men that have turned the world upside down? People are not interested in what you say, man. Especially these young guys. They want to see a difference in your life. They want to say, what makes you tick, man? I want what you've got. See, you can preach till the cows come home. As we say on the farm. Cows came home a long time ago, son. It won't change any young person. When they see fire, when they see passion, when they see consistency, when they see holiness, when they see signs and wonders and evidence that God's alive, then they will change. And I don't blame young people, because it sickens me when I see the hypocrisy in the church. When I see theologians who've got degrees longer than your arm and they tell you that this book is not divine. And they say, we don't want Angus Buchan in this campus because he believes that the book of Genesis is divinely inspired and written by men. We don't want him there because he believes in disciplining children when they are naughty. Listen, man, the Bible says a good hiding will not harm your child. In fact, it might save his life one day. The Bible says that this book from Genesis to Revelation is ordained by God. And if you change one dot or one tittle every plague in this book will come upon you. You see, some of us have got no power here tonight because you're always questioning God's word. You know, I'm getting emotional now. Why do you keep questioning this book? But you never question the news. You never question the newspapers. You quote them verbatim and they're full of lies. This book saved my life. This book, when I was down and out, son, when I'd written over my little nephew, and I had to take that broken body to his father, my brother, and say, I'm sorry. This book saved me from going insane. This book used to feed me every day when I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was waiting for that alarm clock to go off. I couldn't run fast enough to get up to my farm office to have my quiet time. And Jesus just spoke to me every day like it was alive, like it's bread of life. Angus, the battle is mine. Stand. Angus, it was an accident. You didn't do it on purpose. This book kept me alive. When I used to drive down the main street in my town and my friends would look the other way or walk into a shop or make out they're writing something in their bucky because they couldn't face me. They didn't know what to say. You talk about loneliness, son. I know about loneliness. And he never failed me. He was there every day. This book, man, I love this book. I've told the previous crowd, you'll never see a photograph of me without this book. This is Jesus Christ in print. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said, I came to fulfill this book. The Old Testament is not old-fashioned, son. It's relevant. Jesus quoted it all the time. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why there's no power in the church so often. People are questioning this book. I'm here tonight to tell you that this book is the answer for South Africa. I will not stop preaching the gospel until this book is read in Parliament every morning before we start work. Now you can give the Lord a clap. This book. Not any other book. Only this book. I'll die for this book. And many have. Many have been burnt at the stake because of this book. And this guy said to me, he went and saw these men, these theologians, and they said, we don't want Angus in this campus. I'm telling you, but it's sad, eh? So he went to another hall that was twice the size on the same campus, and we put 5,000 students inside there. Huh? This guy said to him, he preaches that the man is the head of the house. We don't believe that. I'm talking about theologians. My girl, read the Bible, man. Men are put there not to oppress women, to love them, to cherish them, to protect them, to feed them, to look after their children. That's what we are there for, boys. We're not there to stand on women. My wife is my best friend on earth. I'll do anything for her. Don't you ever come near my wife, young man. And if you do, shake her hand. That's as far as you'll get. You give her a drink, I'll give you a flatty. Amen! See, when men become men, then it's very easy for women to submit to men. But sir, when you can't get off your backside, excuse their English, and go and do some work in the morning, why should she submit to you? I don't blame her. I wouldn't either. See? So when we get it right, and we do it according to the book, husbands, love your wives. See, what does that mean? It means take the head of your home, protect her. It saddens me when I see young men walk into a restaurant and this poor little girl has to run in after him. I really get offended, especially overseas. A tube train comes and it stops and the doors open and people pour out and these young guys just walk in. This poor little girl's trying to fight her way in. Where's the chivalry? Hey, where's that knight in shining armor who stands back and lets his girlfriend or his wife come in first and he walks in behind? Where is that? You know that I've been married for over 40 years. I open the door for my wife every day in the motor car, sir, and I close it. And I walk around and I get in on my side. Because I love her and I honor her. When my children misbehave, my boys are bigger than me and they're older than me. But I'm telling you, they will not, and they don't, by the way, speak badly to their mother. not look after their mother. Even my grandchildren, if they don't listen, my name is Kulu. It's a Zulu word for grandfather. My wife's name is Gwoko, which is granny in Zulu. If they don't do hlonipa, that means respect. Don't hlonipa ugogo. Ukulu is umshaya, yabo. Fakipa.
Amen.
What am I talking about? I'm talking about life. Who are these men that came and turned the world upside down? See? This book, I'll tell you what, you can bet your bottom dollar on that book, sir. That book is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Why is it when we go to court, in the high court, they still put the Bible? You have to swear on the Bible, not on some other book, and I'm not going down that road. There is no other book, there is no other God. You see what I'm talking about? I talk like this in some first world nations, they'll take me away in chains. They call it hate speech. Isn't that hate speech? This is life. Jesus came to set the captive free. It's the only religion in the whole world, and I'm using that word carefully, which is motivated by love. Not intimidation, not fear, not good works, just love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a beautiful faith, son? Hey, Jesus says, you don't have to do nothing for me. I've done it for you. All you have to do is to just love. You know, the gospel is so simple. You don't have to go to university. You know that, eh? Are you at university? Well, you better get going tomorrow. You don't need to be here anymore. Two things. Okay? We put Christianity in a nutshell. Two things. Number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's all there is to it. You're saying it's not as simple as that. It is as simple as that. We complicate it. What do they say? Educators complicate. Communicators simplify. Am I simple enough? Love God and love your fellow man. That's it. It's the most powerful faith in the world. It's the only faith in the world. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one's going to the Father but by me. Can I have a South African amen? That's better. See? It cuts across everything. Cuts across gender equality, cuts across racial hatred, cuts across age differences, cuts across everything. That's why I love him so much. That's why I'm prepared to die for him. That's why I left my wife at home, sir, on Mother's Day to come here to speak to you. There's nothing else will take me away from Jill but the mandate that God gave me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's all. I'm not intimidated by anybody. I really mean that. I respect people. I respect education. My children are all educated. My son's got a BSc in agriculture. He majored in economics. My daughter's a higher grade English teacher. I've got no problem with education. But sir, a prime minister from Britain once said, education without Jesus makes clever little devils. That's it. And that's the problem. See, when I preach to you, I'm not aiming at the head. I'm going for the heart. When you shoot a buffalo or an elephant, you never shoot him in the head. You shoot him in the heart. Jesus aims at the heart. The disciples aimed at the heart. Who are these men that have turned the whole world upside down? They've even come here now. Now listen to this. Acts 14. And by the way, you interrupted me. I was telling a story just now. I was telling you that I was at Stellenbosch. And when we'd finished preaching, there was a man in the front in a wheelchair. Now, what had happened? When I was going down my plane, I got an SMS from one of my spiritual sons. Said, Angus, there's a man on the West Coast who got hit in a car accident. And he has been paralyzed for 2 years. He can't walk. He says, I'm just telling you what he says. You see, this is the power of personal testimony. Not testimony from 25 years ago, from last week. In fact, last week, Wednesday. He said, if Oom Angus prays for me, God will heal me and I will walk again. Now, this guy's been in a wheelchair for 2 years. His legs are like this. He's got no legs. I said, and my son SMS'd me, what must I do, Oom Angus? Dad, what must I do? I said, bring him. So he brought him. But I wasn't there as a healing meeting. I was there to speak about the meaning of life. When I was finished and we had an incredible meeting, God moved so powerfully in that place. A guy came up. In fact, I was halfway through the preaching. A stranger walked up and he said to me, that man in the wheelchair is going to walk tonight. Now, who told him? I don't know. He didn't know him. He didn't know about my SMS. You see, this is why I'm so excited about Jesus. Sir, Jesus is more real to me than you sitting in that chair. That's the honest truth. I get so emotional when I speak about him. He is so real. You can't fool God, man. You can fool all the people all the time, but you can't fool God, son. Can see right through you. See, when I preach, I like to look in your eyes because the Bible says your eyes are the window of your heart. See? So you can fool other people. You can't fool me. These people saw these disciples. They said, these people who have turned the world upside down have come here. Can you imagine what it must have been like to look into the eyes of Peter? Hey? John? Elijah? Moses? Hey? Can you imagine? Fire! Moses, can you imagine him? Elijah is my hero. Elijah the Tishbite. Oh, the hairy man with a leather belt. Woo, hallelujah. When he woke up in the morning, the devil started to tremble. That's how it should be with you. Not that guy. He's a hypocrite. Guy's sleeping with his girlfriend. He wants Jesus to use him. Jesus doesn't use fornicators. That guy there, he hates black people. But man, he prophesies and he speaks in tongues. You're a liar. The truth's not in you. If you can't love your brother, who you can see, how can you love God, who you can't see? I'm quoting scripture, by the way, just in case you didn't know. You'll find that in 1 John 4:8. See? You treat your wife like a doormat. You think God's going to bless your business? You must be joking, my boy. Can't play the fool with God. You on the internet, you're continually involved in pornography. You need deliverance. And maybe tonight's your night. It's filthy. It's from the devil. It's from the pit of hell. I'm telling you. See, I can't stop it, Uncle Angus. You can. You just don't want to. But you're crying because God doesn't use you. Of course he won't use you. He won't use me either. Our God is a holy God, my girl. Person wrote me a letter the other day because they watched Grassroots. They said, you said on one of your programs that the Holy Spirit can depart from someone. Prove it. I don't believe that. When a man's full of the Holy Spirit, he can't. I said, he can. King Saul was the first king of Israel. Head and shoulders above any other man in Israel. A mighty, mighty man of God. Didn't even want to be the king. But the people wanted him and Samuel appointed him. But what happened to Saul? Saul took the law into his own hands. He was tired of waiting for the prophet to come and make the sacrifice, so he did it. And the prophet Samuel came over the hill and he said, what have you done? He says the soldiers were leaving. And the enemy was getting bigger. I had to make a plan. He says, today the anointing has left you. Now to me, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. I said to that young man when I wrote back to him, I said, you cannot serve two masters. I said, my God is like oil cannot mix with water. God cannot mix with sin. Darkness and light cannot be in the same room together. We need to understand that. If you want the power of God in your life, if you want to find out the meaning of life, you need to be prepared to live a holy life. I'm not saying I'm an angel, sir. I repent continually before God. But I want to tell you something now. I'm not messing anymore with God. See, some people say, oh, the devil, the devil. I'm not concerned about the devil. The devil is a loser. He's a waster. He's a defeated foe. But don't play with God, son. That's when you get hurt. Don't think that God can't see what's going on inside you. When we start to become holy people, then we see revival. Now we're coming back to the story. That boy in the wheelchair, last week Wednesday, I said to my spiritual son, bring him. The meeting was over. I could have done it during the meeting. I didn't felt it was right. A stranger came up and said, that man's going to walk tonight. I said, can I speak? I said, no, sit down. I'm preaching. At the end of the meeting, we called him up. We prayed one prayer. We lifted him up out of that chair and he started to walk. That boy walked 4 meters to his bucky that night. He is healed. All he's got to do now is just do some exercise and get those muscles built. Can you give the Lord a clap for that? Jesus! The miracle worker! You know what I've said to guys who I trust and I put my trust in? I said, I'd rather die than to drop the ball now. I'd rather die than let the master down now. I really mean that. Rather kill me, Lord, than for me to fall into sin now and have to look at myself in the mirror every morning when I know better. We need to understand this faith that we're talking about is serious. What is the meaning of life? Well, Peter and John found it out. And listen to this. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I'm just going to read this one verse, folks, and then I want to pray for you tonight. I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to touch you tonight. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they just prayed for the lame man. He'd been lying there at the gate as a beggar. Silver and gold have we none? None, but such as we have. Do you know that scripture? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's where the key is. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived. Now, you see, the word perception means that's what you think. But it's not true. A perception. You perceive me to be an old fool, maybe. It's not the truth. You perceive that I'm a multimillionaire because I'm wearing a silver buckle. It's not the truth. This was given to me. It's a gift. And you can't have it. See? You perceive that I'm a show-off because I wear a hat. No, it's because I preach outside all the time. And I like it. Do you like my hat? Good. Well, you can't have that either. See? So perception and the truth is two different things. And they perceived that these men were untrained and uneducated. And they marveled. Why? Because they realized that they had been with Jesus. Oh, friends, listen to me. The greatest compliment that anybody can ever give you is to say, see that man walking down the street? He's a friend of Jesus. It's the greatest compliment that anybody will ever give me. I see Jesus in you. You say that? There's nothing bigger than that. And I want to tell you tonight, God wants to give you the desire of your heart. You know, Philip, thank you for that introduction. And I felt very humble. I must be honest with you, but it's the truth, son. You know, the one thing that I love more than anything else is this Bible. You know that. You know how much I love the Word. This Word is so precious to me. I went into a Muslim's house many years ago when I was a young man. And I was going to speak to him about Jesus. And I sat down in his chair and I took my Bible and I put it on the carpet. The Muslim said to me, please, sir, don't put that book on the carpet. A Muslim. Why? Because he knows that this word is life. 3 years ago, Kumbooks came to me, Chris Johnson. We want to do a Bible for you. I said, what are you talking about? I nearly had a heart attack. Another one. I said, what do you mean? He says, Angus, we want to do a devotional Bible for you. So I think I started crying right there and then. I said, I can't believe this. To be associated with God. And what's happened? We have a Bible. It's called the Bible. It's in the New King James Version in English. It's in the New Living Translation in Afrikaans. And it's got my new devotional flowing from Genesis right through to Revelation. Jesus has given me my heart's desire, not because I'm a good man, that's for sure. Not because I'm clever, that's even more sure. But because I love him. And he said, Angus, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I have a Bible, sir. I don't know how many other preachers in this world have got their own Bible. I have not touched the text. Of course not. But my devotional is running right through it. And on that same cover, it's got the Bible. No, not this one. This is called my agricultural manual. But it's the Bible with reflections from grassroots. My Angus Buck. And I want to tell you, sir, I threw a banquet. A black tie banquet. First time that I call a party with tuxedos. I went. I paid money. I invited all those folks who have blessed me so long. We sat there. We cried. We laughed. We had a banquet. And I gave each one of them a Bible. God will give you the desires of your heart tonight. If you find out the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? Number one. Are you ready for it? Number one is to glorify God. And number two is to enjoy Him forever. That is the meaning of life. And everything else comes after that. You are studying to be a doctor, an engineer, an accountant. I don't know what you're studying. If you do it as unto the Lord, you will succeed. And you will be like Peter and John. They were fishermen. They weren't priests. They weren't preachers. They were just fishermen. But God used them to change this world. This country of South Africa will be changed not by ministers. It'll be changed by ordinary people like you and me. Housewives, sportsmen, engineers, blacksmiths, mechanics, farmers, old people, young people, people who love God. People who have found the meaning of life. Now, if you find the meaning of life tonight, you can change this nation. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm not going to America this year. I told them I'm not coming. I'm staying here. I want to encourage you. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. I want the music team to come up here. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to give you an opportunity. What for, Angus? Number one, to repent. To repent from what? Maybe from a heart of unbelief. Maybe because you're a backslider. Maybe because you grow cold. Maybe because when you hear the name of Jesus, you don't cry anymore like you used to. Maybe because this book hasn't become real to you. Maybe you don't read this book anymore, sir. If you read my devotionals and my books and you don't read the Bible, I want to tell you something. I'm a very poor salesman. Throw my books away. Because all of those books, everything in those books came out of this book. You need to be getting up in the morning, very early. You need to be spending time in prayer. You need to read this word systematically. And I'm telling you, it'll revolutionize your life. Tonight, I'm telling you. That's what the meaning of life is. And then all of a sudden, you won't have to go on to the internet and look at that filthy pornography. You go home and you tell your boyfriend, tonight, we don't sleep together. No more until the wedding ring goes on, sir. Can I have a clap for that? Tonight! And then you'll find out whether he really loves you or whether he's using you. I'm telling you, it's hard. In this previous meeting right now, a girl was crying outside here. I've prayed for her. Her boyfriend's been unfaithful. I said, my girl, you can thank God that he's been unfaithful to you now. Because when you get married, it's a different story. I'll tell you my last story, sir. This is my last one. And I don't tell lies anymore. I'm a Christian now. I wrote a book called Hardcore Christianity. There was a young Afrikaans girl, beautiful girl, like all Afrikaans girls are. My oldest son's married to an Afrikaans girl. My granddaughters are very beautiful. This girl came and she came to one of our meetings. After the meeting, she came and she was crying up in the front. She had black curly hair. Beautiful big brown eyes. Beautiful girl. When she was crying, she was weeping. The mascara was running. The lipstick, it was a real... What do you say in Afrikaans? Snotten trana. Say, what happened? She said, Oom Angus, me and my boyfriend went overseas, like often happens. And we ended up living together. And I knew it was wrong, but I was lonely. He was lonely. We were away from home. And we were going to get married anyway, so what's the big deal? The big deal is it's wrong. That's the big deal. See? And she said, they came back to South Africa to get married. 3 weeks, that's all, son. 3 weeks before their wedding day. She read this book. She was convicted. She said to her boyfriend, her fiance, she said, I believe God's saying to us, we need to separate. We need to separate. We're doing the wrong thing. We can come together on our wedding night. 3 weeks, that's all. You know what he said to her? He said, if you leave this flat, it's over. They've been going out together for 2.5 years. So you know what she said? It's over. She walked out. She came to me. She's brokenhearted. I said, my girl, you did an amazing thing. You did an honorable thing. That man felt nothing for you. If all he wanted was a physical arrangement with you, he didn't love you. I said, I've got good news for you. Now God is going to send the right man into your life. Now that you have repented, you've broken away from that lifestyle, now you're going to start living. You know, I saw that girl 6 months later. I could not believe it was the same girl. She was beautiful. She was radiant. I saw her in a supermarket. She came running over to me. Uncle Angus, well, Angus, I found him. I found him. In fact, I think he found me. Why? Because God honors obedience. I want to say to you tonight, I'm saying to you, the meaning of life, purpose. Get up in the morning. Why do I come here? Why do I keep fit? Why do I keep running? I don't want to have another heart attack. I've got a job to do. I can't wait to do it. I'm so excited. I've never been so excited in my life. I'm 58 years young. I'll be 59 in a couple of months. I feel like I'm 15. Thank you. What about you tonight? Some of you are 15 and you feel like you're 100. No, it's true. You've got no hope, right? You've given up. There's nothing about this life. You're disappointed. Maybe your parents have let you down. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're battling with your studies. Maybe everything's just a grind. Maybe you're full of fear. Fear is a terrible thing. It neutralizes your brain, everything. We're going to sing a song just now, No Longer a Slave to Fear. But before we do that, we need to repent. We need to repent so that people can see that these men in Pretoria are the same men that have turned the world upside down. I go to America. You talk about intimidation, son. I went to a place called Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where they have the Grammy Awards for the music for the whole world. It's a 25,000-seater indoor arena. The biggest speakers in the world. I've got to stand at 8th grade 10. I come from the bush. I'm a farmer. I can't even speak English properly. I get up there and I'm saying, Lord. He says, Angus. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I love him so much. He says, Angus, open your mouth wide. And I will fill it. Psalm 81 verse 10. Angus, just tell them what I mean to you. See, you want to be an evangelist, son? Listen to me carefully. This is how you become an evangelist. An evangelist is one hungry beggar showing another hungry beggar where to find bread. That's it. Now, if you don't know him, how can you tell other people about him? See, those theologians I was speaking about, they're good history teachers. They probably know this book better than I do, but they've never met the author. I know him. Oh, yes. Sometimes I can smell his fragrance. I can feel his presence. I can feel his peace because I've walked the road, you see, sir. I've been to hell and back again. And I lost my little nephew. I had no friends. There's nothing more lonely than that, my boy. It's funny how people are. They're fickle. You know the word fickle? Today you're a hero, tomorrow you're a bum. The same crowd that said Hosanna to God in the highest was the same crowd 3 days later they said crucify him. The same people. If you put in your trust in trying to influence and find friends in people, you'll be disappointed. If you make Jesus your friend, you'll have more friends than you can handle. Because it's like a moth to the light. It's like a bee to a honeycomb. See, you can't force people to be Christians. If they don't see anything in your life, why should they listen to you? If you're always negative, you're always anti, you're angry, you're foul-mouthed, you've got no... Why should they be like you? But when they see a man who's got fire in his soul, when they see a man who can confront anything in the name of Jesus, love his enemies, go the extra mile, speak life, call on the elements and say, Lord, you are the rainmaker, bring the rain, and it comes and it puts out the fire. And all the other guys who are not even believers say, hey man, he's lucky, that guy. Lucky? In Zulu we say, Nhlanhla. Can you show me lucky? Hang on a minute, let me see if I can catch some. How is he lucky? It's a word, son. But faith is different. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. Oh, folks, I'm tired now. I want to finish. I've got no more to say to you. I beg you tonight. Make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? God or mammon? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, when God's on your side, you can't lose. See, the Bible says in Romans 8:31, What does the Bible say in Romans 8:31? God is for me. Who can stand against me? I'm in the majority. And I don't say that in an arrogant way. Please understand me. I was a useless guy at school. Had no self-confidence. Couldn't speak to more than two people. Saw a girl run a mile. That's me. Yeah, it's the truth. Now I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world. You know? Can I tell you something? Now I'm bragging, eh? I've got a little granddaughter. She's in grade 10. She's doing the Oxford-Cambridge curriculum. She got 100% for maths. And she came first in the world. She lives in Great Town on a farm. She's my granddaughter. Can you give the Lord a clap for that? Huh? We call it divine cheating. I'm sure Jesus gave her all the answers. Now I'm saying that to you because you're a believer. You don't have to be a washout. You don't have to be a dropout. You don't have to be penniless. You don't have to be any of those things. You can be full of the fire of God. Because if God is for you, there's no man that will ever stand against you. Amen! So I want to pray for you. I want to pray that tonight you will find the meaning of life. Are you ready for it? I'm going to ask you, only if you want to stand to your feet. We're going to pray one prayer, a prayer of repentance. We're going to ask God to forgive us. We're going to ask God to clean up our act. We're going to ask God to be real to us tonight. We're going to repent of our sins. We're going to give Him all our problems, cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And I guarantee that you will walk out of this place having found the meaning of life. Are you ready for that, ladies and gentlemen? Would you like to stand up with me and we pray that prayer together? Pray together. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you haven't done. Tonight's a new beginning. It's a new night. It's a new start. There's no such thing as retirement in the Bible, sir. You and me, we're not retiring. We just get promotion all the time. There's no such word. I'm telling you the truth. There is nothing. I just wish that when I was 32 years old, I knew what I knew now. Now, you're probably about 22 years old, young lady. You're so beautiful. I want to tell you tonight, if you put into practice what you've heard tonight, you will live a profitable life, a full life, a life of joy and purpose. Yes, you'll suffer. Oh, yeah. We all suffer. There's nobody in this room that's not suffering. Is that right? We're all suffering. There's something. But when you suffer for a reason, then you can handle it. But when you suffer for no reason, that's when you commit suicide. You say, what's the point? What's the point? If there's no future, there's no afterlife, there's no hope, there's no Jesus, I might as well end it now. And that's why people take their lives. But tonight, you can't say that. You know the meaning. His name is Jesus. You know the reason. It's to glorify Him in your life, son, and to enjoy Him forever. I'm free, man. I used to be in prison. Had to drink with the boys. had to use all the filthy language because I'm a main man. A lot of rubbish. Okay, we're going to pray. Okay. I don't want you to close your eyes. I want you to keep your eyes open. I want you to hold hands with the person next to you. I want you to close right across the aisle. Stretch across the aisle. Because in just a couple of minutes' time, you are going to be full-blooded brothers and sisters in Christ. Full-blooded. What a beautiful sight. What does that look? Can you see that sight? What do you say about that? That's God. I want to say I love you so much. Thank you for coming out tonight. I don't know anywhere else in the world where this would happen on a Sunday night. I'm going to pray. I want you to pray this prayer after me. It's a prayer of confession. Many of us in this place are Christians. I know that. I can feel it. But there are many that are holding back on certain issues in life. Boys, men, one of the worst things that we're holding back is pride. Filthy, stinking, arrogant pride. And you see, as you are standing for Jesus now, as you are with your eyes open and everybody can see you, you are now humbling yourself before God. You notice I'm on my knees. That started when I first started preaching. The Lord said, Angus, unless you humble yourself, I can't use you. I was a very proud man, self-made man. And that's why I get on my knees every single time. Because when you're on your knees, you can't fall any further, see? But when you're up on a pedestal, you can get knocked off very quickly. So we're going to pray a prayer, okay? Keep your eyes open. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance. Now, I'm not going to pray for the sick, because I believe that as you pray that prayer, God is going to heal people in this place. See, the breeding ground for sickness, not in every case, but in many, is hatred, unforgiveness, jealousy, anger. These are things that propagate sickness. Heart disease, stress, cancer, unforgiveness. Not in every case, but in many. 90% of sickness is up here. When you start to rejoice, the Bible says laughter is like medicine. When was the last time you had a good laugh? See? You see, when we've prayed this prayer now, you are a believer. Oh, yes. Now, these theologians, these members of the Sanhedrin, they'll tell you it's not as easy as that. I'm telling you it's as easy as that. Ask the thief on the cross. He'll tell you how easy it is. But he genuinely repented. Good people are not going to heaven. Believers are going to heaven. So you see, if I don't see you again here, I'll see you there. See? Because you're going to confess with your mouth right now, Jesus Christ, and you're going to believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead and you will be saved. And when you're saved, you're going to change your lifestyle. See? And that's how this country is going to be completely revolutionized from the inside out. And the name of that revolution is love, the love of God. Let's pray. Don't close your eyes. Look up. Pray after me, and I want you to pray loud, eh? Loud and clear. I want the devil to hear this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, this evening, I repent of a heart of unbelief. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I have found the meaning of life. Number one, it is to glorify you. Number two, it is to enjoy you forever. Holy Spirit, tonight, convict me of anything in my life that does not glorify you. And Lord Jesus, as you've come into my heart tonight in a new and special way, I thank you, because I really want to start enjoying my fellowship with you. I will serve no other gods. And I firmly believe that the Bible is your word in print from Genesis to Revelation. Open my eyes and my heart of understanding for direction, for vision, and for counsel. Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Beautiful. Beautiful. Did you hear that, son? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Woo! Right now. Now before you go, arrest that woman there. That one coming down the steps. Take hold of her. Grab her. Hold her. How? When's our January, man? You know, listen to me, please. Man. I know it's late. But man, I'm just enjoying myself. Are you enjoying yourself? Thank you. Are you enjoying? Listen to the story. See that auntie? That one there, yeah? When? Fucking Jesse, you both, yeah? What? Or your tinta, you cut in, man. Yeah, when? I was in Durban. I was preaching in a big church there. And at the end, exactly what you just did. This one lady, shame, she wanted to get out early, just like this auntie here. And as I was praying, you see, I look at you, you see, because I don't look at the ceiling. I'm interested in you. You're not yawning, are you? No. Okay. Because if you do, I'll rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You can shake your fist at me, but don't yawn. And don't look at your watch. That's a hangover insult for me. You can shout, you can perform, you can punch me. That's okay, but don't look at your watch. So this lady started coming down. This is a true story. Tommy, I don't know if you were there. So I stopped the whole service. I'm very ugly when I did. I said, madam, where are you going? See? Just like you. So she came back, just like you, and she stood there. And then I called her to the front. I won't call you to the front. I called her to the front. She came up on the platform. I said, where's your husband? She said, I'm not married. I said, would you like a husband? She said, no. And I told her to sit down, and I finished the service. You know, she wrote me an email. Makes me want to cry. Eh? Out of that, there's about, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 people there. She wrote me a letter, an email. Listen to this. You tell me Jesus is not alive and not here tonight. And in the letter, she said, Angus, I was a visitor. I didn't even belong to that church in Durban. I was lonely. I was backslidden. I felt like I was the only person in the world. I had no friends. And I went to church that morning. And I said to God before I went to church, if you do not speak to me directly, I am giving up my faith completely. And she said, out of that whole crowd, you called me out, you brought me to the platform, you named me, and she said, I am on fire for Jesus, because you didn't know what was happening, but Jesus used you to speak to me. Isn't that amazing? You know why I love God so much? He's the God of the individual. He's not the God of the Zulus, or the God of the Afrikaners, or the God of the Americans. He's the God of Joe and Maria and Sam and Angus and Jill. You know, that's why I love him so much. Please, folks, don't let people blaspheme the name of Jesus in your presence. Say, excuse me, if you don't mind, you're speaking to my friend. About my friend. And don't let anybody convince you that this book is not for real. You take this book out of our faith. What have we got left? Huh? You take this book out of the Christian faith. What have we got left? Nothing! Don't let them do that. Don't let them do that. So you've prayed the prayer. Now we've got one more thing to do. We're going to sing a song. I've heard that you guys can shout. I've heard you shout at Loftus. I've been there. And it wasn't for a rugby match either. I've never ever heard singing like it. They sang Our Father. Were you there? You were an unbeliever in those days. You guys sang Our Father who art in heaven in Afrikaans without any music. And I'll tell you what, I wept. I could actually hear the angels circulating. I believe there were 72,000 people at Loftus. It's the biggest crowd they've ever had. Is that right? The field was full. You can't play rugby when the field's full. Biggest crowd we ever had. I'll never forget that day. That's why I love you so much. Now, I want to hear you singing this song like you shout for the Blue Bulls. Okay? I prayed for the Blue Bulls. Did you know that? They came down to the Elangeni Hotel in Durban. They called me. Johan van Graan. Well, Angus, come pray for us. I said, of course I'll come. They're playing against the Sharks, the Currie Cup final. So I came there and I prayed for them. And they lost. So I don't think they'll ask me again. But tonight, you're a winner. Remember, if I don't see you here, I'll see you there. Because good people don't go to heaven. Believers go to heaven. Now, auntie, that one is running away there. Now you're going to see why I told you to stand. Because now you're going to hear a song like you've never heard before. You know that one, I'm no longer a slave to fear? You know that one? You don't know it? You do not? Let's sing. Amen! Let's sing it. Come on, boys.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.